This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report.
And this is James Evan Pilato of Media Monarchy. And we both welcome you back to the latest episode of New World Next Week. And newworldnextweek.com is where you can go to find high-quality, low-quality videos, audio only, and so much more to help spread the word about this show that, of course, is independent and not connected to any corporate outlet. And it's two folks bringing you the news, and hopefully in all around the world, folks find this more and more valuable. So, James, we've been away for the last couple of weeks, and the news never stops, and it's generally impossible to try and stay on top of everything. So we're just going to pick up where we are right now and begin with the latest from your backyard in Japan. Japan City to give radiation counters to children, and this is from the French agency Press. Japan's Fukushima City said on Tuesday it would hand radiation dosimeters to 34,000 children to gauge their exposure from the crippled nuclear plant about 60 kilometers or 40 miles away. The city will hand the measuring devices to all children aged between 4 and 15 for 3 months from September so that they can wear them around the clock, an official at the city's education board told the AFP. The city is outside the government's 20-kilometer or 12-mile evacuation and no-go zone around the tsunami-hit Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, but many residents are concerned about radiation. There have been fixed-spot radiation measurements, but parents and citizens are concerned about individual exposure, said an official. We also believe the distribution of dosimeters will help ease parents' worries if they confirm their children's exposure does not pose health risks. He added that radiation in the city has been below the official threshold for health risks and said the children's dosimeters would be read out once a month to assess cumulative radiation exposure. And the hat tip to this for this story goes to the always fantastic Cryptogon.com, who notes in posting this story, government-issued dosimeters. I wonder what will happen to the data. A related story that we have from Reuters, radiation hotspots hinder Japan response to nuclear crisis. And this starts out with a sort of human interest angle. Hisayo Nakamura still can't accept that his crisply cut field of deep green tea bushes south of Tokyo have been turned into a radioactive hazard by a crisis far beyond the horizon. I was more than shocked, said Nakamura, 74, who, like other tea farmers in Kanagawa, has been forced to throw away an early harvest because of radiation being released by the Fukushima Daiichi plant 300 kilometers or 180 miles away. Throwing away what you've grown with great care is like killing your own children. For more than 3 months after the Fukushima nuclear plant was hit by a quake and tsunami that triggered the world's worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl, Japanese officials are still struggling to understand where and how radiation released in the accident created far-flung hotspots of contamination. James, the last related note before I pass it back to you. Folks may be familiar with someone that goes by the name of Dutch Sense on YouTube. He is currently on tour and touring around the United States and taking radiation measurements. Some of his most recent videos that I've seen, he's been in here, my state of Oregon, as well as Washington. And the levels here appear to be lower than they are in the Midwest, which I guess, you know, the selfish part of myself, you know, is relieved at that, but it leaves us, I think, scratching our heads. James.
Yeah, some interesting information there. And on the idea of the dosimeters for children, I mean, I guess it's a step in the right direction, but as Kevin at Cryptogon.com notes, yeah, well, it's government issued. I'd feel much better about it if it was issued by some sort of third party. And it makes you wonder why there are no third-party sort of organizations or things stepping in here, or no anti-nuclear groups or something that might serve as some sort of watchdog or balance against what the government is doing. Everything that's happening over in that region seems to be led by the government, and government, of course, is in bed with TEPCO. And so it doesn't seem like it's a very objective way of dealing with the situation, but certainly the Fukushima region itself is absolutely the epicenter of what's going on, and is obviously bearing the brunt of all of this horrific radiation leak, which now is just getting worse and worse, as we know. So absolutely, the people in the Fukushima region, I don't know, if I was there, I would definitely be moving out of there. But it's interesting to watch some of the local news here in Japan talking about the people in their daily lives and how they're going to have to forego air conditioning and even opening windows in the summer because obviously they're trying to keep the radiation out and they're going to have to, you know, wear their long sleeve winter clothes and things like that. So it's just going to be a horrific existence for them, and they're, you know, more likely to end up with cancer anyway. So I don't know what to say about the people in the Fukushima region itself, other than you know, it's just a terrible tragedy.
And this is, I think, at this point in the life of New World Next Week, this has been the story we have now returned to repeatedly over the last several months, whereas generally we'll go over different stories as they may come along. But obviously, this is of utmost importance to everybody on this planet. Before we jump to our second story, I want to throw out one quick mention to a site that a good NewsHound friend of mine turned me onto, and it's called enenews.com, and it's a fantastic source for pretty much just Fukushima and radiation-related stories. So, James, we move to our second story this week, and we take it from theintelhub.com, U.S. and U.K. to cut power in preparation of massive solar storm. In a stunning announcement, the United States and United Kingdom are likely set to begin controlled power cuts in preparation of a giant solar storm. The announcement by Thomas Bogden, the director of the U.S. Space Weather Prediction Center, comes a week after a large-scale solar flare released a massive amount of radiation and threatened to cause moderate disruption. The solar flare on June 7th was luckily pointed away from the Earth, but caused many to wonder if another solar flare is imminent, this one aimed directly at Earth. Now, due to the possibility of a large-scale solar flare, officials in Europe and the UK are preparing what they call controlled power cuts. What this actually means remains to be seen. In an interview with The Independent, Bogdan was quoted as saying, "Controlled power outages will protect the national electricity grids against damage which could take months or even years to repair should a large solar storm collide with the Earth without any precautions being taken." Interestingly enough, this information also comes just days after NASA sent out a preparedness warning to all employees and their families, and we'll add that video link in the show notes. Last year, NASA warned about solar flares were on course to cause massive devastation. Senior space agency scientists believe the Earth will be hit with an unprecedented level of magnetic energy from solar flares after the sun wakes from a deep slumber sometime around 2013, the Daily Telegraph reported last year in 2010. Scientific American is also running a compelling article on the subject. The article covers the fact that last week's solar flare has illuminated the power grid's vulnerabilities and reflects on the outcome of a massive solar storm. If the solar storm of 1921, which has been termed a one-in-a-100-year event, were to occur today, well over 300 extra high-voltage transformers could be damaged or destroyed, thereby interrupting power to 130 million people for a period of years, Joseph McClellan, director of the Office of Electric Reliability at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, said at a May 31st House Energy Subcommittee hearing on the issue. The fact that NASA was partly founded by former Nazis and has a long history of cover-ups also remains very relevant. Is this a real threat for the very near future, or is there some other sort of space event on the horizon? James, the interesting update that we add into this from Bloomberg: sun's magnetic levels ebb as scientists note missing sunspot activity. Solar activity appears on the decline as events that typically presage bursts of energy in the sun's 11-year cycle have decreased or stopped, scientists say. Tracking the sun's cycle, which occurs as its magnetic poles reverse, helps scientists predict solar storms that interfere with satellite orbits, communications, and power systems. This, according to the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. Studies presented yesterday, June 14th, at the American Astronomical Society's meeting on solar physics suggest the sun is headed into a quiet period. So, is it a quiet period coming, or is it a much worse period coming? James?
Well, that's a pretty important question, isn't it? And we have been seeing these stories for a couple of years now about how these massive solar flares are going to disrupt all communications on the planet and all our electricity grids and all of this. We've been seeing a lot of those types of stories, even as we've seen for a number of years now, the sun has been in a very quiet mode. There's been a very little solar activity, and there's been a little sign that it's going to start suddenly flaring up. And I think that's particularly interesting because of the discrepancy there. But because they've been predicting for so long, 2012 is supposed to be the maximum of the next cycle, and it's supposed to be a time of great solar activity. But as we're getting there, and there's still no major activity, solar activity to talk about, it makes these wild predictions seem even more and more out of touch with reality. And it has to make you at least wonder if. Are we being prepared for some sort of event? I mean, because the average person has no way of knowing if a solar flare has happened or not. They could just obviously turn off the grid and say, oh, you know, it was that solar flare. And who knows what the end game of such an event would be, but it has to be preparation for something. I mean, there's just so much of it going on, and in so many of the usual mouthpieces for the scientific establishment, like Scientific American. So I don't know what it means, but it means something.
And the preparation is there. So whether they would turn off the grid and say, oh, it was that solar flare, or blame it on whatever convenient, you know, scapegoat needs to be blamed for whatever political capital needs to happen, which sets us up for our third and final story this week. But first, I'll make the quick note, and we do have it up on cyberspacewar.com, that right now there is a lunar eclipse that is occurring. So for you sky watchers out there, it's unfortunately not visible here in North America, but there are links and live feeds that you can watch. So speaking of cyberspacewar.com, we do have an original piece over there, LulzSec, laughing at your security since 2011. And James, we kind of noted that this isn't necessarily one we're going to read into the record entirely, but what this surrounds is the mass amount of hacking events that have taken place over the last few weeks and months. And just off the top of my head, I kind of typed out into my notes quickly that, one, this cyberspacewar.com story is mentioning the hack into the Senate, the United States Senate. But last week we had IMF breached by sophisticated hack attack, anonymous attacks and Shudder's Spanish police website. There was the Sony PlayStation hack. There was a Gmail hack. There was, I believe, PBS News, Fox News, and so many other things. And an amazing story from the New York Times the other day. U.S. underwrites internet detour around censors. And James, we also have the story we were going to cover last week on this show, but we were unable to do it. 1 in 4 U.S. hackers is an FBI informer. Which of those bits would you like to bust down first?
I'm not sure if I can bust them down individually, because they all seem to fit together, don't they? I'm definitely of two minds about this, because obviously, if the cyber tools can be used for political purposes, maybe that's a good thing. But exactly like throwing bricks at a storefront window, it does nothing to damage the actual corporation, and it only serves to demonize the protesters and give police a chance to step in and do something about it. So in the same way, if hackers are going to, you know, deface the U.S. Senate website or something, does that do anything whatsoever to challenge the political establishment or the political order? Not at all. And what does it do other than to give the government the excuse to crack down with draconian legislation against the internet? So I mean, I don't think what we've seen so far is useful in any way, but I mean, I guess it could theoretically be useful. They could theoretically hack into something, some database that has some actually important documents that might actually truly change the game. Who knows? But the way it's been played out so far, and especially given that story about how 1 in 4 hackers is an FBI informant, I mean, duh. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? They're heavily infiltrated, so you have to wonder, I mean, to what extent is this, again, a false flag, a setup for bringing in Senator Rockefeller's favorite pet project of curtailing the internet. And certainly the U.S. Senate has been leading the charge on that front, so it's interesting that they're the ones getting hacked. And, yeah. Again, I'm of two minds.
And that would be the Rockefeller from my home state of West Virginia, who, openly opined, oh, maybe it would have been better if the internet never existed. But hopefully these kind of stories about 1 in 4 U.S. hackers is an FBI informer, you can find, I believe, similar stories relating to different areas that we would discuss that generally go against the mainstream version of things, that it's Al-Qaeda that's doing it, or it's these hackers that are doing it, that generally so many things, and especially when it's massive events, come from inside, and it is an inside job, or it is, as Tarpley called it, virtual flag terrorism. But James, we are just about out of time, so I'm very glad to be back on newworldnextweek.com with you.
Well, it's great to have you back, and let's do it again next week.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.